All right. Good morning. Good morning. I appreciate what Lewis said about grinding it out. I got a shirt that says put in the work. And just a reminder of when God does bless us, it does require us to do a little bit of work. You know, he called Adam to till the ground. Sin just brought in some issues. And so we've got to work for it. And that includes any progress that we're going to see in our life. And it's one thing for us to abide in Jesus, and that's where fruit is born. But he also expects us to do a little bit of work. And how many of you know that there's reward from work? There's reward from it. And so there's reward physically, emotionally, and God knows the blessing of it. So he wants us to get in it because he knows what comes out of it. So I'm excited about our series called Boundaries. We started last week, and I believe it's really a series that's going to help you define what's okay for you in your life. Because it's not okay for everyone to do what you're doing and vice versa. Because God has set it up in a way that he has specifically designed life really to lift you up in where you need to be and to bless you, but that also requires you putting some guardrails and boundaries in your life as opposed to our former parents who blew the guardrail and the boundary big time. And this is where we are here today. God said you can eat of everything, but please don't eat of that. And so his challenge for us today is this. Listen, you can all this, I brought you out into a spacious place. You can enjoy all this, but I don't want you to go that way. Because that way is just going to lead to death in your life, and I don't want that to take place in your life. And so only you know what that is, and the great thing about God is, and the Holy Spirit, is that he tailors the word individually to your heart, and the relationship is tailored individually to you, and so that relationship is specific for you, and so when God speaks to you about certain things, it's there for a reason. But how many of you know he wants to bless you? He wants to prosper you. But he wants you to do it not in the confines. He wants you to do it in the boundaries that he set up for your life. I don't like the word confines. I like boundaries because those are the things that God has put us. And so today, we're going to dive in and talk a little bit about marriage today. Last week, we opened it up and really talked about this idea of community and how God wanted us to do life together with people and how when he created man alone. But he looked at man and said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to bring him someone to help him. And the first set of people that he brought or not people were animals, and the second was the wife. And so when we pick it up today, and it's not in that order, so don't look at it, well, God values animals over women. Okay, don't. God just looked at it and said, listen, well, we're going to test the man first and see what the man's supposed to do. The man was supposed to name the animals, and he said, okay, he did that, now we'll bring the woman. And so in our lives, men, God looks at us and say, hey, listen, I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to see what you're going to do with the opportunity that I've given you. And once you start working in that gift set, and once you start moving in that gift set, then I'll bring other blessings in your life. What happens is sometimes in our life, you start looking in different ways and in different directions. And God said, listen, until you really do what I've asked you to do, I'm not going to bring in that blessing in your life. And especially with women, if you're in relationships and you're a guy here and you're looking for a woman to come in, they're not coming until you're ready. They're not. And so God knows, and sometimes the enemy will bring women into your life just to test you a little bit, just to see whether or not if you're going to fall for it or if you're really going to wait upon God. And I don't have time to go into our testimony today with me and Misty, but there was a period of time where I waited a long time for God to bring in Misty into my life, and it was really a time of strengthening in my life that needed to happen because of what God had called me to do. And until we can get to a place in our life where we are satisfied in our relationship with the Lord, I believe God's such a good God that he's not going to bring in things into our life that are going to divert our attention to a point of where he's not first anymore. And especially when it comes to women and it comes to men, God understands that there is value in those relationships, but if we're not careful, we can elevate those relationships to a position that they were never supposed to be in the first place. Never. The Bible didn't say that Adam was lonely. It said that he was alone. And God looked down. He was okay. But God looked down and said, you know what? It's best if we bring someone alongside of him, a suitable helper that will help him in this process. Adam was okay in his relationship with God. And the question is that are you okay in your relationship with God? Because there's a difference between being lonely and alone. Because when you are lonely, you have a tendency to want to look in other places to fill that gap or that loneliness. And that's when you can get into trouble. And well, and then God says, okay, so until I really can fill the gap, then I'm not going to allow any other things to come into your life that don't need to be there because I want to be number one. back again, God looks at Adam and say, okay, you're doing what I've called you to do. We've got a good thing going here. You've named the animals. You've named it a lion. Okay, it looks like a lion. All right, you're good. Now we're going to bring it in because God is a God of process. And he says, okay, I'm going to ask you to do this. And once you do that, I'm going to see how you do. And then God elevates. The issue we get into was the fact that Adam didn't take his role probably the way he needed to take it. Because if you remember, when the serpent came in and tempted, and the Bible says that Eve had a dialogue with the serpent, and she gave to the man, and the man just ate it without saying anything. And who knows what the dialogue was, but he just took it and ate it. And because of that, now we have a problem today where men have to work the ground, and it's hard and it's difficult, and sometimes you don't see fruit, and that's their curse. Women now have pain, severe pain in childbirth. Well, we now have the epidural, so it's less. But you understand now that's their curse. And so as a result of that, we deal with that today. And so because relationships were thwarted from the beginning, God had to come in now and really rectify the situation by sending his son Jesus, the second Adam, and doing the thing that the first Adam did not do. And so now we're here today in a new covenant with Jesus Christ as the head, and where wives and husbands are supposed to submit to one another in order to have a mutual and a beneficial relationship in marriage. That's why when you look at the New Testament, the Bible talks about wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting unto the Lord. And then it talks about men, love your wives. And so it really comes down to, if you want to make this thing work, wives, you're going to have to submit. And men, you're going to have to love your wife and lay down your life just as Christ laid down his life for the church. That's how this is going to work with me at the head. Because in the beginning, it didn't work that way. You messed it up, but this is how it's supposed to work. And so my question to you today is, if it's not working, why? Is it not working? Have you assumed a position in your marriage that you are not supposed to be in? Are you trying to be the man in the marriage? Or are you allowing the man to lead? And vice versa. Men, are you trying to be the woman? What that means is that are your roles reversed? And so God calls the man to lead and lay down his wife and to be the provider, and the woman are to submit. Now, the problem is, and people can attest to this, is that when we talk about this word submission, it gets a bad rap. People look at submission and they say, well, I'm not submitting to anybody. I'm not, because no one's going to tell me what to do. First of all, that's an attitude. And second of all, your marriage won't work if you don't have the idea of what submission actually is. Because the Bible talks about when I submit, I am submitting myself unto someone else, not for them to control me, but so that we can walk in mutual relationship. Chris, put 2 Corinthians up there for me, that chapter 7. Please, that verse, or 1 Corinthians. It says this, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. It's an act of yielding. I'm not losing myself and who I am. I'm yielding myself to my wife and vice versa so that we can have a fruitful and prosperous relationship in our marriage. Okay? And it does not discount the fact that God wants us to have pleasure in our marriage. Yes, because marriage, we're supposed to have pleasure in our marriage. And if I can't have pleasure in my marriage, if I'm not willing to yield. So if you can't yield, if you can't yield control, if you can't yield decision-making, if you can't yield direction in your life to your spouse, it's going to be very difficult for you two to walk in unity in your life, because you have to understand that, number one, Jesus is the head. And so if I'm able to yield myself over and say, okay, I'm going to trust the fact that God has set it up this way, then I know that God is going to hold me responsible for the portion of my marriage. And then God's going to hold her responsible for the portion of her marriage. And then we can walk together disagreeing. Yes, we disagree, but we can still be submitted. Do you agree with God all the time? But nevertheless, you still submit to what he wants. And so once you submit to what he wants, then you can resist the devil effectively and he'll flee. But if you're trying to do it in your own strength and you're trying to do it your way, you're never going to see the progress that you want to see in your life, because God has not set it up that way. And so there could be issues in your marriage right now simply because you just won't yield to one another and submit. And that is not God's issue. God looks down and he looks at us. The first thing today is I think we have to understand is real simple. I'm trying to help you understand really what a healthy marriage looks like and boundaries. And you can say, I've been married for almost 17 years. You know, my dad's almost over 40. Okay, everyone's at different places. It really doesn't matter where you're at. It matters where you're at on your journey and what God has asked you to be at. And so if you want to be successful, there are going to be some things you're going to have to understand, I think, right off the bat. And the first thing that you really got to look at is that you're not somebody else's mom. They had one of those. And they grew up in a certain way where mom did certain things for them. And well, mom's not doing that no more for them. And so you have to understand when you come into the marriage, it's really an awakening for the other partner to be able to look at you and say, you know what? This person thinks I'm their mom. And that you have to really understand and define some boundaries in that area to say, listen, number one, I love you and want to support you, but you need to take care of yourself and clean up after yourself. And the one thing's about women, women have a great way of pointing this stuff out because they can catch that stuff right off the bat. They understand because when they grew up, they mom showed them some stuff about, hey, listen, if you marry a man, you better watch this stuff. Okay, they can understand real quick what a boy looks like compared to a man. And so sometimes when you come into a marriage, women, you got to be very careful that you're not marrying a boy, you're marrying a man. And so boys grow up into manhood, but sometimes it takes them a while to get there. And God, in his grace, will allow you to get married to help you grow up. Like, I wasn't totally ready to get married in some areas, but listen, I grew up pretty quick. Because I began to realize that unless I do certain things in this marriage and keep up my end of the bargain, we're not going to be married very long. And the responsibility was on me. And God said, I want to bless you. When I give you a blessing, I want to bring that wife who comes into your life. And he who finds wife finds a good thing and finds favor from the Lord. And I'm like, yes, I did find favor from the Lord. But you also understand that there is a responsibility that we might go long today. Just be ready. It might be a little longer, but that's be okay. This might be a two-weeker. I don't know. But just understand the fact that that was a key component in the marriage is for the boy needs to understand that he's not a boy anymore, that he's a man. Like, yeah, there are certain things I have to do right now that I can't do anymore. That means I have to put down the PlayStation and attend to my wife. Boys, we hear that boys will be boys. Yeah, they will. It gets old. Ask a woman, are you really looking for in a man? I really want a man who I can look up to, who will take care of me, and who I have full confidence in that this person is going to come through for me. I want a man. I'm not looking for a boy. And so ask yourself, man, and the challenge today is that where is really God asking me to step up in my marriage? I am not your mom. And I could picture Eve in her mind, if she would say these things, the number one coming in and saying, listen, number one, hey, I'm not your mom. You never had one, okay? But all right, but listen, I'm not your mom. God's your father, and that's cool, but I'm not. Listen, there are certain things. If this is going to work, you got to understand, number one, this is how it's going to work. And that's important for you to get that because you've got to walk side by side in life, and you don't want to have to drag up the rear with someone who is not really with you or for you or really is not emotionally developed in an area of where you're not quite there yet. Let me just give you an example, okay? That's why there are certain people when we counsel and we talk about marriage and different things is that certain people are just not ready to get married. They're just not. God blesses people at a young age sometimes, 19 and 20, to get married, and God says, yes, you are ready, and God allows them to grow up. But if you look at society today, most people are getting married later and later in life, and that I believe is for various reasons in their life. It's because, yeah, we got a millennial generation who doesn't want to commit to anything. They just kind of want to do what they want to do and live their life, and that's their independent spirit that they have. But they also they don't really understand the value of being in a relationship and understanding what it takes. And God says two are better than one, and so when I bring two people together, you're actually representing me in a better way as if you were by yourself. And so you've got people right now who are in a relationship and just they're kind of just living together and doing their thing, but not committed. Not committed. And that's okay today. That's okay. Is it? When you look at it in God's eyes. Now, here's the deal. But if you have a situation where people are in that, and you probably know people like that, you've been given an example or an opportunity to really show people the way on how it's supposed to be done. Commitment. No one wants to commit because they don't want to deal with someone else's issues. And the problem is that, okay, you'll never experience God's fullest blessing in your life. Never. Because you'll always be like outside of God's perfect will. You want God's will, but you want it with conditions and contingencies. I want to, but I still want to this. And so you've got to check your heart and understand what that looks like for you. I would venture to say, and just be bold in this, is that some of our issues or some of the issues that you're facing in your life right now could be the fact that you are not totally submitted in your relationship with Christ. And because of that, what happens is that you leave room for the enemy to come in and play with your mind. You know you're really not submitted. You know you really haven't whooped that. And you have to fight that and grow through that and really struggle through that and really find out where you're at in your relationship with God. Now, if God has given you peace to where you're at, be at peace. But at the same time, know that that submission thing is a process that we continually come under. I don't just submit one time and like, I'm done. No, God, that's a continual thing that you have to go through. And so if I'm continually submitted in my relationship with Christ, then I'll continue to see victory in my life. Because I can't make this work if I'm not submitted. It just doesn't work that way. And so I have to understand what my role is, men and women. You have to understand what your role is too. And the second thing is this. Honestly, I'm not your slave. What that means is this. I don't have to do whatever you say. Some women or people come into marriage and like, you will do whatever I say. Now, woman, man. And that is not, number one, that is not really recipe for success in your marriage because you can't make someone do anything. You can try to control them, but that's not godly. And you have to understand that people have a free will. Missy can walk out right now. God will still love her. She has a choice to do that. Do you not have a choice right now, Maria, to get up and walk out of here and say, Chip, I love you, but I got to go. And we don't like to talk about that because we get into a situation where it's like, well, I'm bound and I'm in this. Yeah, you are in a committed relationship, but you are free to make decisions in your life. And so if you are in a situation, in a relationship where someone is coercing you to make decisions and say, you will do this because of this, you got to check yourself and where you're at right now and where they're at. I love you, and we are in a committed relationship, but we also have to understand and honor one another for the individual gifts that God has given us so that we can develop in our own timing and that it's not necessarily on your timing and my timing, but that we can develop at our own pace and push one another on to grow. But you are free, and so you understand you are free today, but you have made a choice to be in a relationship with someone and love them as Christ loved the church because God has asked you to partner with that person. And as you're doing that, what's happening in your life is that you're becoming more and more like Jesus. And you're understanding more and more about what his design for marriage was. His design for marriage was not to hold you in a headlock and say, you will do what I say because that's what I'm about and I'm going to control you into submission and I'm going to control you to do what I want you to. Listen, that is not health, number one. And so if you're in a relationship like that, you've got to really step back and say, okay, God, what's this really about? What's this really about? Everyone has a degree of control in their life. We all do. We practice self-control. Let's not mistake what that looks like. Self-control and controlling are a little bit different. And you understand and you recognize what self-control and control should look like in your life. If you feel like you're being controlled, you know what it is. You can be honest in here. When you feel like you're being controlled, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And how do you think someone else feels if you reciprocate that in their life? God is so good that God will allow you to see what it feels like as opposed to what you put on other people. God will allow you to feel what that looks like and say, you know what? I don't like that. I'm going to back off here. So if you like control, you're going to have a real difficult relationship with God. Because when you talk about this idea of control and faith, they don't work real well together. If you want to control, then your relationship with God will only go so far, and that's it. But if you continue to release control over to God, your relationship with God will rise to new levels, and your relationship with people will rise to new levels because you realize that, number one, they're not my possession, and I hold them like this, and that God can take them and move them where he wants to move them. I'm just glad that I'm along the journey and that God has brought people into my life who I can do life with, but I've said this before, eventually, they're all going anyway. God didn't die and save them so they can stay in my life. God's bringing them to eternity one day. And so while they're here and God has afforded me the opportunity to be in a relationship with them, that we're going to learn and we're going to grow. And really what it's doing is it's growing me up in my faith. That's what it's doing. And so you have people running around just saying, well, that's mine, that's mine. Listen, they're in relationship with you, but really, they're God's. So you got to give them back over to God constantly. Because I should be able to function okay if she is not here. It's not the fact that I don't miss her, I don't want to be around, but we've gotten to the point of our relationship where it's like, she can do her thing, I can do my thing. And we're okay with one another. Because it's a healthy relationship. And then we come together and we do life together, but we understand what our roles are. As a man, God's going to deal with me different as he deals with a woman. And so as that takes place, that's why the Bible talks about a three-stranded cord is not easily broken, because you got two people with God in the middle wrapping it all around and holding it together so it's not easily broken. That means that if God wasn't in the middle of this, we would not be doing well. I would probably not be here. But that's why God says, I've got to get in the middle of it. And so I can show you what real health is so that we can really make this thing work. Thank God that he gets in. Because he shows you what it means to be like him in the relationship. You are in another level of faith once God brings someone into your life and says, okay, I've called you to be married. You are stepping up into another level of faith. And I want to say, really what you're stepping up in, you're stepping up into another level of war in your life. I told people this, you don't understand that you're about to go into warfare like you never even thought. People say, I'm so excited, I'm going to get married. We're going to have some sex tonight. It's going to be great. You're excited all about that stuff, but I'm telling you what, you don't even understand the concept of what it means that now you've got the enemy coming in on a deeper level in your life and say, okay, now I'm going to test everything that you've ever heard and taught about who Jesus is, and that you're going to have to stand up with it, because I'm going to attack your call, I'm going to attack your purpose, I'm going to attack everything in your life. But if you're willing to stand, God said, I will bless you beyond measure. But you got to understand, you're coming up into warfare. This isn't some sort of game where it's like, listen, I love you, you love me, and it's all emotional. It's not about that at all. The enemy says, all right, now it's time to really come up against them, because if I can take them out and annihilate them, what happens is then the whole name of Jesus is defamed. It's defamed now because I thought Jesus brought them together. And if I can get in and cause them to be divorced and cause them to separate, then I've won. But you got to stand in the hard stuff. You got to stand in it and say, no, I am still going to be in this thing. That notion needs to be dispelled from your mind immediately. Because past the feeling, past the emotion, there's commitment. I said, till death do us part, and I continue to say, till death do us part, because I am committed more so in my relationship with Jesus Christ than to her. Because I made a commitment before him, he holds me responsible. And so I've got to commit and finish this thing and stand in it, because as I do it, God begins to change it. But if I don't, then God can't do his work. If I'm not committed to the process of what's going on here, but also here, it's not going to work. You got to be willing to stand up in it. You got to stand up in it. I woke up today, YouVersion was on. YouVersion, God uses that to speak to me at different times in my life. And YouVersion was Ephesians 6, about putting on the whole armor of God so that you can stand up against the wiles of the devil. There are wiles. It is wiles. It is schemes that the enemy comes in and tries to bring in stuff that he concocts that are weird schemes that he tries to get in. And you got to understand what that really looks like. Because he'll come in through your marriage. He'll come in through stuff and really test that. But you got to be willing to stand up to it and fight through it, because on the other side, there's breakthrough. And so hopefully you're at the point right now where you understand what that looks like. No, okay, there are some things that he tries to do, but I've got to really understand what that looks like. And it's not that it's new, but it's for you. And they are schemes. But you have to understand who you are in Jesus Christ if you're going to make it and you're going to survive. It's not some game that you hear people talk about. People are in literal battle in their life. It goes on to say, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age." Basically, what he's saying is that your fight is not against who you see around you. It's against what you cannot see in the heavenly realms that are causing the environment for people to dysfunction where they're at right now. And so, but I've called you as a people to stand up in the midst of that with the armor on and to resist that. And when you've done everything, to stand in your faith, knowing who you are, with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace, and taking up the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. He said, "I want you to get up, stand up, and realize that you're in a battle, and go to battle, stand in it, swing if you have to, but continue to go." And that's when you're going to see the breakthrough in your life. You have to be able to do it. You got to sometimes grind it. It's part of doing hard things. Stand up and finish it. Do it. That's what God is asking you to do. Do it. Realize that my strength is with you. I didn't sign up for this. Do it. Yes, you did. They told me, no, I don't care what they told you. Get up and do it. God holds you responsible in your marriage. It's like, well, what does my wife say? I like what my wife says sometimes. She says some great stuff. But guess what? Sometimes God says, no, that's what I want you to do. Because as I do that, guess what? God's working on her. And then the onus, Sharon, goes back to, what does God ask you to do? But you got to finish it, man. You got to finish the season you're in. And that's the difficult part sometimes. Because we look at it and say, I've got all these other things going on, but God says, I've got something specific that I want you to finish in this season. Finish the season. Because in the season, once you get out of it, you'll see what I was doing and you'll see the fruit that I bore in it. But you gotta be willing to get up in this thing. It does you no good. It does you no good if you're just going to go in it kind of half-hearted and be like, well, I'm in, but I'm not. It does you no good, because God is not looking for half-hearted Christians anymore. He says, I want you in. The time is short. I need you in fully with me. I need you in fully. Because I believe there's coming a time where there will be a dividing line where God says, listen, I loved you. I've given you a lot of grace. But I need you to make a decision. Whether you're coming in or you're not. Because of where we're going, I need all my people submitted under me. This is the age that we live in right now. It's exciting. It's exciting, but it's going to cost you something. Third thing is, in order for us to make this work, I'm not your God. I can't save you. I can pray for you. What is God asking you to do? And I can help support you in this mission. Because that's why I'm here. And there are certain things that she can give that I can't necessarily give perspective-wise. But it goes back to this. There are certain things I'm weak at, she's strong in. Certain things she's not, I'm strong in. And so in that, God expects us to work it out. Work it out. And that's the fun part, right? Work it out, because guess what? I'm finding out more about who I am. She's finding out more about who she is. And in the middle of it, there's growth and there's possibility, all the while understanding the unconditional love of God. But God said, there comes a time where things need to be settled and finished. And you know what that looks like. Seasons in your life change, and God brings things down to a season. You have to accept that and be willing to step into the next season and say, okay, God, what do you have for me next? It's that constant chasing after God. You cannot. The one thing you understand about marriage is that it's not a one-stop shop and say, okay, I'm just here, and we're going to ride out for another 30, 35 years until we're sitting on the patio, our teeth are falling out, we're drinking a 40, and all of a sudden, well, I'm just going to ride out. Yeah, I said it. That's the life that God has called you to? Wait, that's the life. You're talking about God has called you to that life. Okay, that's not the life that I see. God said, no, I'm going to wreck your life in a good way, and I'm going to call you to do things that you never thought you could do, and I'm going to cause you to do it with other people, but I need you to understand just a few things about these people when I bring them into your life. Number one, you had a mom. They're not your mom. Understand that I have gifted you, and I put certain things inside of you that I want to come out. Understand that those things are necessary for your survival. Number two, when people come into your life, don't hold on to them. They're not your slave. Let them go. I gave them to you for a season to enjoy the relationships that you have. But in order for me to take up rightful place, that you have to continually give them back over to me so that I can be at the center where it needs to be. Because third thing, I'm not, and they're not, your God. I'm your God. I'm the one. Isn't that what God does for you? He always is going back and saying, hey, it's me. It's me. Looking. We got a few more minutes. Guys, just hang for a minute. Chris, verse 25. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. You guys all right? Can you hang for a few more? Some of you are like, oh, whatever. This is hard. I want to get out of here. Okay. 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 Well, just take it. Okay. Just take it. Some of us right here, this also is part of our problem in our marriage. Just not comfortable with who we are. Not comfortable. So you withhold because you're not comfortable. You're afraid of rejection, whatever it is. And I wasn't going this today, but, and I don't know if I should, but I might. God has afforded you the opportunity to experience a marvelous gift in marriage. Marvelous. So much so that he gives you this gift and says, this part of your marriage is undefiled. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. There's pleasure in that. I've created it. There's something about that that releases tension, stress, and things in your life. Just ride it out for the next few minutes. God said, but if you are ashamed and hiding who you are, you will never experience the full joy that I've created this part of your marriage to be like. Some people look at it and say, you know what? this isn't really for me, but it's a piece of your marriage. And so without going into too much detail today, I want you to look at this today and take this thought home with you. Am I there? Or is there things in my life that I have not let go of? That causes me not to yield authority of my own body to my wife and vice versa? How do you think God feels sometimes when we hold back? And you know when you hold back, when we're tentative and resistant, how do you think God feels when he says, you know what, I gave everything for you and you're holding back from me? It's probably irritating to him. I want you to think about your own life right now and where you're at in this specific area. Are you holding back? Because if we're not careful, and I know this is uncomfortable, but it's okay, okay? If we're not careful, we can miss out on the blessing of God in this area of our life. People talk about this idea of sex and what it really looked like. You know the number one idea of sex was? For procreation and reproduction, right? Remember? Be fruitful and multiply. Okay. God said, I made it this way. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. But there's also other elements that God brings in. And I think sometimes in a marriage relationship, we got to be careful that Maria can attest maybe to this, that this piece is not thrown to the side. Or it's just something extra. Because the enemy will come in this piece more than other pieces in your life. You talk about finances, you talk about emotions, you talk about like physical stuff. Well, let's add in sexuality. He'll come into this piece and wreck your marriage if you are not constantly working on this in your marriage. I know some of you had different situations, and I'm making light of it. I'm talking this is specifics in the ideal world. Because the enemy comes in and through a man brings temptation through the eyes and what he sees. Women want to be loved and cared for and valued. If those two things are not happening and taking place, what happens is the enemy comes in and puts a mirror up and says, number one, your needs are not being met. And if we're not careful, we look in the mirror and then we see someone else in the mirror right behind us. And the enemy says, well, they might. And it's happened. People that you know, I know, all of a sudden, it didn't work out. Because what they did was, instead of really saying, submitting to God and really saying, okay, I'm going to yield myself over, what they did was they started looking this way. Because it got hard. You said, I do. And what people do is that they say, well, it's hard, so I'm out. Where does it say? Where does it say that? Well, in verse 10, if thou says in your heart, it gets hard, you just may leave. It doesn't say that. You knew before you got married they were like this. Some of you realize in the marriage, you're like, oh boy. But you made a commitment. And so God looks at you and says, okay, I'm going to hold you now accountable. What are you going to do with this? And you look in the Bible for issues when divorce is okay, and I'm not going to go over that today. Most of us know what they are. I'm not talking about the idea, well, it's hard, so I'm out. That is not a commandment. That is not an excuse. That's just a matter of you saying, I got to work this thing out. So you got to ask the Holy Spirit what that looks like for you in your life. I just don't like doing this. This is just not really a part of my marriage, what I like to do. It needs to be. It needs to be. If it's not, then you have now opened yourself up to another door, and that you've now given the enemy access to really put a wrench in your marriage and really cause you to go another direction in your life, ask people right now who that was the cause of it, or one of the causes. You don't like to talk about this. We don't like to talk about it because it's like, well, you know, they were good here. Financially, we were good. But yeah, there were certain things in my life that just work out. And this whole idea of sexuality just wasn't right for us. Why not? The church does a great job talking about Jesus and spirituality. We're going to rock the nation for the Lord. And we're going to go out. We're going to save thousands of people. But you're struggling in this area of your life. You're struggling in your marriage in this area. And this could be the one thing the enemy just kicks out the leg from under and causes everything else to tumble down. Because you're struggling with it. Because you're not taking care of your emotional and physical needs. Here we go. We're back to that whole idea of emotional health again. If I'm not taking care of myself emotionally, how can I be whole spiritually to do what God has asked me to do in a right frame of mind? I can't do it that way. And so that's why that has to be practiced. That's why financial discipline has to be practiced. That's why taking care of myself has to be practiced, so that when I come worship Jesus, that I can actually leave here with some foundation in my life to stand the rest of the week. Loving the Lord, having a great dialogue emotionally with Him, understanding what my responsibility is and continuing to go about what I need to do. Because what do here? We win in emotional health. We win in our finances. We win in sexuality. And then guess what? We win at spirituality, because these things are in order. Not that we're perfect at everything, but they're a part of what we're doing in our life. And I can see clearly. You can't tell me in your life that once you are seeing fruit financially, once you are seeing fruit emotionally, once you are experiencing breakthrough in this area of sexuality, that you don't see things clearer. You do. And the enemy tries to keep you foggy and says, don't go there. It's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. It's just not, it's not prayer. No, listen, it's important. God wants your whole life prosperous. Whole life. It's hard to see clearer when something is not working like it should be working. And so do you know God goes to great lengths to get things working in your life, because He wants you to see, my gosh, this is the possibility when it works. And then when you get a car, let's all stand on our feet. If you got a car that runs right, doesn't it feel better when you're in the car and you know this thing is not gonna break down? At the end of the road, it feels great. You get to where you need to go. You feel good about it. You feel solid and secure. It's the same way in our relationship with God. When things are running right, there's a confidence that's there. You feel like you're on more solid ground. So I believe God's doing a total work in His people. Total work. I don't care that you can shout for the rooftops and you can pray in the spirit and you can all this stuff. That's great, but I'm looking at your heart and the condition of your heart and other areas of your life that are not right. Those other things that are pillars that need to be right, because once that's right, guess what? You'll see that I am a God who's into the total you. Total you. Total transformation. That's what I'm about. So if you're comfortable right now and uncomfortable, that's good, because God is trying to get to the total you. Oh yeah, and that's what He does. We're going to lean on it and we're going to continue to work on it so it's healed and working right. And God is relentless. Talk about a grinder. God's a grinder, man. But because He loves you. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. We thank You, God, for the way You come after us and the way You continually pursue us. Thank You, God, You've called us to be whole. God, You have something in mind for us. Something in mind. The way You saw our life and the way it's supposed to be. And I thank You, God, that You're moving us in those directions of where You can do the work that needs to be done. God, I thank You for understanding what healthy marriage looks like. Thank You, God, for giving us a picture of what You've called us to be as men, women, and having an understanding of what it looks like, God, to live a prosperous life with you and have a relationship that's growing with you, but also have a relationship that's growing with other people in a healthy way. That we can continue to give people back over to you because they're yours anyway. We lift you up as God in this place. I pray, God, that you would help people, help couples in here today, really seek you, draw close to one another, God, in areas maybe that they're weak at, they're deficient at, that you say, you know what, I want to do a work here because I want you to experience my goodness and my fullness. And as a result of that, you'll be able to see my intention for you here is for good and not evil. I want you to actually enjoy your life. Because as a result, you'll see my goodness. And you'll want nothing else but that. And Father, I thank you for this word and your goodness. In Jesus' name, everybody said, let's leave on a high note today.